It's Andy Parks live from the Washington Times on 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT. And I'm joined now by Valerie Richardson, Washington Times national reporter. Hello, Valerie. How are you?
Well, I'm good, Andy. How are you?
I'm just fine on this Easter Monday. Saw your story, lawsuit over health care tax could kill Obamacare. And I must admit I was surprised because I thought the threat of that was over. I guess not, huh?
Yeah, this is a lawsuit that really has kind of flown under the radar. It was filed right around the time of the election in November. And so I think that as a result, people kind of didn't notice it. It happened kind of at a big news time. But the more you look at it, the more you think, well, this thing's legit, maybe. It's a lawsuit that basically says that Obamacare is on its face unconstitutional because it originated in the Senate, and because it's a bill that raises funding, it has to originate in the House.
Mm-hmm. And I imagine that when Chief Justice Roberts actually said it was a tax in the eyes of the court last summer, I imagine these folks at Pacific Legal Foundation said, okay, that's the answer we want.
Well, exactly. And it was, I think a lot of people were really interested or just kind of curious about why the Chief Justice had spent so much time talking about the fact that Obamacare is definitely a tax. You know, it's not a penalty. It's not something under the Commerce Clause. It's a tax. And why did he spend so much time on that? Well, they think maybe because he was opening the door for them to come and encounter with this Origination Clause lawsuit.
Mm-hmm. Now, what has the Justice Department done? How have they reacted to all of this?
They are trying to dismiss the lawsuit. They have filed a motion to dismiss, which is right now in the D.C. District Court, and we're expecting a decision on that. You know, it really could be any day, undoubtedly sometime this month, I would think. They've been expecting a decision for a while. And the way that the Justice Department has reacted is basically saying, you know, well, it did originate in the House because, look, the House passed this bill, and then it went over to the Senate, and the Senate basically deleted everything out of that bill, replaced it with Obamacare, and then passed that and said, see, now we've originated in the House, and now we have just passed it in the Senate, so everything's okay. This is a process that is known as gut and amend, basically, where you're trying to get around the whole Origination Clause thing, so you gut one bill and it comes out of the House. And the courts of the past have said, well, you know, you can do that up to a point. As long as you're talking about, you know, one tax bill being replaced by another tax bill, that's okay. But the Pacific Legal Foundation, which brought this lawsuit, said, look, these bills have nothing in common. The original bill is basically to help, you know, veterans qualify for home loans. It's not a tax. These two just have nothing to do with each other, and you can only push this whole gut and amend process so far because before you're absolutely throwing out the entire meaning of the clause.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds... Just the premise sounds illegal to me. I mean, you have a shell of a bill, and believe me, that's all that's left. And the next thing you know, they've rewritten the entire thing, but they've kept the same number.
Right. That's exactly right. It's the same number. And, you know, like I said in the past, the court has given the Congress a little leniency on this, saying, well, as long as you're, you know, basically talking in tax, we're okay with it. But this kind of may be a bridge too far. This may be... Maybe as a part at this point, what the Pacific Legal Foundation is hoping is they'll say, okay, we've given you some leeway, but right now we have to draw the line.
All right. So what are the brilliant legal minds throughout the country predicting in this case? Do you have any idea?
Well, there have been a few articles written on it among law professors, and the opinion seems to be kind of split. There's a professor at Georgetown who says, yeah, I think this is not blatantly unconstitutional. And then you have a professor at Yale who wrote for the Atlantic Monthly saying, well, yes, I think in the past the courts have, you know, been okay with this kind of thing, so I think they'll continue to be okay with it. So you have people kind of on both sides. There's not a clear consensus where, you know, everybody's saying it's either, you know, definitely going to be go through or definitely not. So it's really one of those cases where you're just going to have to wait and see what the court says.
Huh. What would happen? Can you imagine what would happen if the court just threw this whole thing out? And said, no, you know, it's illegal, you know.
It would be crazy because this bill, unlike other lawsuits that, say, are nibbling at things like the birth control mandate and the contraception mandate and the abortion mandate, this actually has the capacity to throw out the entire bill and not just, you know, little pieces of it here and there. That, it would be incredible. I mean, it would, you know, be a jaw-dropping moment, to be sure. But, you know, people who were kind of surprised at the way that did Chief Justice Roberts ruled in the first Obamacare lawsuit, which was decided last June, you know, there's maybe a thinking that maybe this is what the way he wanted it to be overthrown and not the other way, and maybe that's one reason he was so adamant about describing it as a tax. So,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to say, but yeah, it would be just crazy.
Well, it would be a great news story, because that means the mainstream media wouldn't even have been involved in it at all until it actually happens.
Well, the motion to dismiss, if the plaintiff, the Pacific Legal Foundation, prevails on that, then obviously it'll go and get a full hearing. So this is just the government's attempt to try to cut it off at the knees, and so there's still more court action to come, even if they prevail at this stage.
Yeah. All right, I want to take you to another topic that you and I have discussed many times, and that is suspected killer James Holmes. I understand there was an attempt at a plea bargain that went south.
Yeah, what happened last week in Colorado is that the defense attorneys came out and said that they wanted to enter a plea that would basically, he would plead guilty in exchange for getting life in prison, no possibility of parole. And it came the day after the state legislature basically killed a bill that would have abolished capital punishment in Colorado. So I think that maybe the attorneys were hoping that if, you know, Colorado abolished capital punishment, that would help them, even though it wouldn't be retroactive, that would help them in their defense. But when Colorado didn't do that, then they came out and said, you know, we're willing to plead to this. And I know that, however, the DA's office, the District Attorney George Brockler's office, had been talking with a lot of victims and a lot of families, and they concluded that that the families were, you know, I guess a preponderance of the families wanted to see them proceed with a death penalty trial, so that's what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. All right, yeah. And so now it's just sit back and wait for a trial date then?
Yeah, the trial date has been set for February 4th, so, you know, almost a year from now. But and it could be pushed back even further, because one thing that, you know, everyone expects is that really the defense, the only thing they can argue at this point is the insanity plea. And those tend to take a long time. There's a lot of, you know, testing involved and that sort of thing. And so February 4th may be even optimistic. We may not, you know, maybe over a year before this trial actually begins. And obviously that's a long time, but then again, you have a guy here who killed 12 people. Colorado has 3 people on death row right now. The biggest murderer of them all was Nathan Dunlap, who killed 4 people. So it's kind of hard to say, all right, we're going to pursue the death penalty for Nathan Dunlap, but not for James Deegan Holmes. So I don't think the prosecutors, you know, unless there were just an overwhelming opposition to it from the victims and the families, I don't think they probably felt like they didn't have much of a choice.
All right, very good. Thank you for the update. We appreciate it. Have a great rest of the day.
Thanks a lot, Andy.
Valerie Richardson from Denver, Colorado, following a couple of stories for us. It's 4:56, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT, Andy Parks, live from the Washington Times.